How are y'all doing this evening? That's good. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome here during this weather, and anybody that's online, hopefully everybody has electricity. If you would, stand if you can, and we're going to start out by singing, He is Lord. He is Lord, He is Lord, He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord.
Have thine
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Amen. Well, I got one pick of him, somebody already. Yeah, let's see. What was it? Come Thou Fount. What page is that number on? Can about sing it from memory, but it'd be nice to see the words and notes. Number 11. Thanks. Yeah, I just saw it too. That's great. All right.
Come Thou Fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise His name, I'm fixed upon it, name of God's redeeming love. Hitherto Thy love has blessed me, Thou hast brought me to this place, and I know Thy hand will bring me safely home by Thy good grace. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger bought me with His precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let Thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to Thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for Thy courts above.
Amen. And any others? Praise the Lord.
All right. Online folks, good to have you with us tonight. Good to have each and every one of you tonight online and in the house. Our first praise by Miss Vicki Coons is for her daughter, Sharon Heibarger, doing much better, going to rehab hospital, and had some blood pressure issues, and I think they got that dialed in and all adjusted, and so she's fit. Yeah, we both looked at that, and we can kind of halfway read it, but it's blood pressure issues, and it's good. It's good now. Amen? So she's doing better. So that's a praise. And then we got Marilyn Davlin. Miss Marilyn is faithful to, boy, she comes and works that school. How many days a week is she coming now? 2 days a week, and she's here all day, half a day? Half a day. And she's got shoulder surgery this coming Tuesday at 10 a.m., so we're going to be in prayer for Marilyn Davlin. Brother Fred Redmond did his pre-op today, and he will be having a heart monitor removed that's infected. That'll be coming out on Friday. Will they be putting a new one in, did they say? Okay. They're going to take it out, put a new one in? Okay. Yeah. All right. And then Brother Ronnie Holman, Ronnie and Nancy. Brother Ronnie had a fall, and that was today? Yesterday. Okay. Brother Ronnie Holman had a fall yesterday, so we want to be praying for him. And then we'll be in prayer for Peggy Murray. Saw Miss Peggy last Thursday, and she was a little under the weather, so, you know, she's had a lot going on with the loss of Marshall, and so we just want to pray for her health and mental well-being and all that stuff. And then I've got names have not been released yet, so we have no idea who, but just pray for these families in Crosby. If you've seen that on the news, it looks like an apparent murder-suicide with three teenagers. So 2 17, I can't even imagine. Livia turned 18 today. I just can't imagine losing a 17-year-old daughter. But 2 17-year-old girls were murdered or dead. I don't know who the gunman or the murderer is in the three. But there's 2 17-year-old girls that are dead and 1 15-year-old boy. They all found them outside, I want to say outside the house, and it looked like they had been some struggles. So the families in Crosby, that's really shaking that town up. And then Linda Hudson's granddaughter, I want to say that's Brianna, is that correct? And boyfriend Cody, Cody's parents were involved in that murder-suicide. So I want to continue to pray for them. I can't remember what morning it was on the morning news. They all kind of run together. And I think it was this week, but they were showing, maybe it was Monday or Tuesday, they were showing a map of Houston, you know, kind of Harris County, and the murders within a two-day period or 24-hour period, it was unreal. How many people, I mean, it's just, I mean, you know, this ain't Chicago. But, I mean, it keeps on, my soul. So just a lot of meanness and just a lot of not a murder-suicide, just a flat-out murder. That ex-boyfriend that shot his girlfriend 22 times. And my wife's asking me, what kind of gun is that? And I'm like, I guess... Well, I mean, you know, she goes, 22 bullets. What gun holds 22 bullets? I go, well, I guess he had another clip. I mean, I just, it's hard to wrap your head around, you know. Shot her in the back. She rolled over and kept shooting her. And her mother shows up, finally finds her at the park and holds her for her last few moments of life. It's just mind-blowing. So pray for that situation. I'm so sorry, I cannot remember the names on that. But they arraigned the young man, the perpetrator, put him before the judge and charged him. And his question was, can I go back to school? Hello? You're not going back to school. Yeah, he wanted to go back. No, that ain't happening. So I just cannot remember the name. Somebody Google that. I just, young lady, I can't even remember what park. Way ahead of myself. I'm sorry. Close, Second Advent. Yeah, signs of the times. Amen. Yeah, amen. All right. Huh? Hewitt Park. What was the girl's name? You have the victim's name? No, that's not the one. That's all right. Any other prayer needs, prayer requests? Yes, ma'am. He's still sick. All right. Chuck is sick. Pray for Chuck. We'll pray for him. Yeah, we'll pray for Sharon. Amen. She's going to rehab. Sharon's going to rehab hospital. All right. Anything else? Other prayer needs? Yeah? What you got, Bob? Lourdes? Yeah? Oh, man. She diabetic? Okay. All right. All right, man. Yeah. Amen, amen. What else, what else? Yes, sir. That's the girl's name. Diamond Alvarez family. We want to pray for that family. Alvarez, shooting victim. Thank you, Alita. Thank you, Miss Alita. Okay, who else? Okay. Got Ronnie. Thank you, Miss Alita. Okay. All right. Ronnie V. Digestive. Issues. That's bad. That's rough stuff. Amen. We'll do it. Anything else? Anything else? Yes, sir, Brother John. Yeah. Wow. That's right. Right. Stabbing. Was that a stabbing death? Yeah. Yeah. Bless her heart. She was a graduate student. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Right. I think it has something to do with the social media, but I don't know. I'm not a Harvard psychologist or anything, but it seems like with the advent of all the Instagram and the Facebook and is that it? And the Snap. Yeah, yeah, and the TikToks and the Snapchats and all that, it just seems like it's escalating up. Yes, sir. What you got, brother? Amen. For Sharon Heilberger? Yeah, amen. Felicia. Felicia? All right. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer, all right? Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, and we praise you and we thank you that we can meet tonight and relative comfort, Lord, and got a nice, dry place to meet. And Lord, we pray, and as the weather rolls in, we thank you for the much-needed rain. But Lord, we pray that there not be any kind of storm damage. Nobody would get seriously hurt. And Lord, we pray that all those that need the power to stay on because of medical devices and things to help them, Lord, we pray that the power would stay on. And so, God, we just lift that up to you tonight as we begin. We pray that Lord, as we go forth tonight in our prayer time and our Bible study, we're able to bring things to a conclusion in a timely manner and get on down the road, Lord, before any kind of serious weather hits us here tonight. We're thankful for the folks that are with us online. Certainly, more folks decided to stay in than come out, but Lord, we're thankful that we can all be together via the internet, and Lord, being here in person tonight. So we just praise you and thank you for that. Thank you for saving us, Lord. Thank you for that blood that was shed on Calvary's cross to cover the penalty of our sin. And Lord, we're just thankful for forgiveness tonight. You're a God that forgives, and Lord, we get to proclaim that, and that's just an awesome blessing to get to do. We praise you tonight that Sharon is doing better, Lord. They've got the blood pressure dialed in and getting her headed in the right direction. We continue to pray for Sharon as she gets ready to go to rehab. And Lord, we just pray that this foot would continue to mend and come back together. And Lord, we look forward to seeing her in person in just a short, short time, Lord, as you just put your healing hand upon her and the rehab does its work. And Lord, she's able to come back, even in a wheelchair, Lord, she's able to come back and be a part of a service. We lift up Marilyn Davlin to you tonight. We pray for this upcoming shoulder surgery she's going to be having, shoulder replacement. And Lord, we just pray that you'd guide the surgeon's hands, be with the anesthesiologist, and Lord, no infection after the surgery. We just thank you for Miss Davlin and all the volunteer hours she puts in, and just her love for the church, her church, and this church, your church, Lord, and love for the school. We just lift Marilyn up to you. We pray for Fred in this heart monitor replacement he's going to be having on Friday. We pray that that procedure would go well, go smooth. We pray for safety for Ann and Fred as they travel down to the hospital, and pray for Ann as she travels back and forth to see Fred and bring him home and all of that. Lord, watch over them. We lift up Ronnie Holman to you, Lord. We pray for his health. We pray that you might heal him up from the fall that he's sustained. Be with him during this time of struggle. Be with Nancy. Watch over their home. And Lord, we just lift Ronnie up to you and just pray you help him and bring healing to him. We lift up Peggy to you tonight, Peggy Murray. We pray for her health. And Lord, we pray that you might see her through during this time of grief and losing her husband. And Lord, just give her what she needs each and every day, Lord, and just help her go forward each and every day as she goes forward from here. But Lord, we lift Peggy up to you, and we pray for her tonight. We lift up these families in Crosby, Lord, of these three teens, and we pray for justice in this matter, whatever that looks like. And Lord, if it is a murder-suicide, we pray for comfort. We pray for your grace and mercy upon that situation. Same as for Linda Hudson's granddaughter and boyfriend, Cody's parents, as they are both gone in a murder-suicide as well. We pray for comfort and grace in the midst of that, Lord, and help them as they navigate a new reality without these people in their lives. Lord, we pray you help them. We continue to pray for Chuck, Lord, and we pray that you might bring healing to his body as he's been sick now a good couple weeks. We pray that his body might shed whatever it's dealing with, whatever virus is stuck there. Lord, we just pray you help him kick it and get over it and get back to health. Lardis in Chicago with a cut leg, Lord, we pray this leg would quit bleeding and would begin to heal and come back together, Lord, just by your touch and by your Holy Spirit. We pray for healing in that situation. Little Diamond Alvarez's family, this other shooting victim murdered by an ex-boyfriend. Lord, we're praying for justice there. We're praying for Diamond's family. We're praying for comfort. We're praying for help. We're praying that you just give them the grace and the love, Lord, and the support that they're going to need to go through the funeral time and then, Lord, through the trial time and through the sentencing time. And Lord, I pray that you would help those parents come to a point where they can let go and forgive. And Lord, that'll be a huge step for them. But Lord, we pray now that they would not be in bondage to holding ill feelings and holding grudge and holding wanting to get revenge, Lord. We pray that the court system would work and justice would be served. But Lord, we pray for those parents so they'd be able to somehow move on, not forget their daughter, but go forward from this. So we just lift that situation up to you. We lift up Ronnie Vaculik to you tonight. We pray for his health and what's going on with his digestive system, Lord. We pray you bring healing there and pray the medicine that he's taking works. Pray you just give him some rest, Lord, and help him just get caught back up. And come back to health. And then, Lord, we lift up Lori's friend, Felicia. We just pray for her, and, Lord, you know what she needs. And so, God, we're lifting her up to you tonight, and thank you for a friend's concern to mention her at church tonight so that we might be able to pray for her. Thank you, Lord, that we can lift these things up. We pray for our country. We pray for our military. We pray for what is going on in the Baltics, Lord, with Russia and wanting to take over a country over there. We pray for our president. Lord, help him stand strong for democracy. Help him stand strong for people's rights and for freedom. And, Lord, we just pray that you would help America be a leader in the world and not let communism take another country. So, God, we just pray for that situation. We pray for our troops. I pray you protect them. We continue, Lord, we've not prayed in a while for our healthcare workers. And, Lord, they are still fighting this Omicron thing. And so, Lord, we pray for them, and we pray that they'd be encouraged. We pray that they'd be strengthened. We pray that they'd be helped. Lord, we're thankful for this influx of traveling nurses that have been sent from San Antonio and from all over the country here to the Houston area. Lord, we're praying that this new variant that they have discovered here in Houston is even less deadly, and Lord, more like a common cold every time it mutates. So, Lord, we're just looking to you for some guidance, for some protection. But, Lord, we pray for these doctors and nurses and medical care people. Lord, they stretch thin. We pray you just help them get through what they're having to get through right now. So, Lord, we lift all this up to you tonight. We thank you for your word tonight, that we can be in it, that we can praise you and worship you through this time of study. And, Lord, as we talk about some difficult stuff, a lot of symbolism here tonight, metaphor, Lord, I pray that you'd help us connect the dots. And as we hear it, and then, Lord, as we review it, and then as we hear it again, Lord, I pray you'd help us retain more of it and be able to really understand what's going on in this humongous parenthetical statement of chapter 17 and 18 of the book of Revelation. So we love you tonight, Lord. We praise you for all you do for us. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right. Well, if you have a copy of God's word, let's take them and turn to Revelation chapter 17. I'll invite you to stand as we read a few verses here together, same ones we read Sunday night. We'll just pick it right back up and seek to go through it some more. Revelation, those of you with us online, we're in Revelation chapter 17, beginning in verse 1, and we'll read through verse 6, and we'll then jump down and look at verse 15 for just a sec here. If you found that tonight, Revelation 17, 1, amen? All right, the Word of God reads this. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and spoke with me, saying, "Come here, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed acts of immorality, and those who dwell on the earth were made drunk with the wine of her immorality. And he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast full of blasphemous names, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was clothed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a gold cup full of abominations and of the unclean things of her immorality. And on her forehead a name was written, a mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with blood of the saints and with the blood of the witnesses of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered greatly." And then if you'll jump down to verse 15, it kind of gives some context to what we just read. "And he said to me, 'The waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues.'" Amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God, and may he add his tremendous blessing to it. You'll remember from Sunday night, those of you that heard that or have watched it online, you'll remember we first of all see in these first six verses and with verse 15, we first of all see how the harlot was exposed, okay? We said on Sunday night the angel that's dealing with us here, dealing with the Apostle John, is one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls, all right? We asked the question and then attempted to answer it. Who is the harlot, the great harlot? will be judged, is not an actual prostitute. This is all metaphor here we're dealing with. The term harlot is a metaphor for false religion, for spiritual defection. It is a metaphor for idolatry, a metaphor for religious apostasy. We talked about how John's vision exposes several aspects of the harlot city of Babylon. First, we looked at the great authority the harlot city of Babylon possessed. So this demonic-inspired false religion we talked about held great sway of influence over the lost inhabitants of the earth during the Great Tribulation. And subsequently, this false religion will be judged along with those that adhere to it. That's kind of the point of what's going on here in verses 17 and 18, talking about how the Antichrist, the unholy Trinity, his whole system, economic system, political system, military system, religious system, it's all going to be judged. And it's judged by those seven bowls. But remember, time has stopped, and we've kind of gone back in time in this parenthetical statement, giving a specific, showing us how the seven bowls, and even I think some of the other plagues and things, the seals and the, so we got the seals, the bowls, and the trumpets, how those things also played a part in bringing this Antichrist empire down in judgment. So time has stopped. We're in a parenthetical statement. Don't forget that. Second, we said that the harlot of the city of Babylon possessed many political alliances. In other words, you've got this religion, and we always talk about here in the United States about separation of church and state. And what that means is the state cannot dictate to the church, right, what the church can do. But that doesn't mean that Christian politicians can't go to the state or go to the House or go to the Senate or even go to the presidency. That doesn't mean they can't use their Christian convictions in government, right? So when we talk about separation of church and state, it's always about the state trying to put its will upon the church, whatever the church may be, whatever religion there may be. So we have freedom of religion here in the United States. Amen? Hey, bravo, amen for that, right? We've got that, right? In this time, it's like a theocracy. So like the Antichrist at that second half of the Great Tribulation, he's going to be like the Pope, or he's going to be like the Ayatollah, or the Antichrist is going to be the political head as well as the religious head, and not just for a country and not just for a religion. It's going to be for the whole world, a worldwide religion, right? And we've been talking about how this is a false religion. So the harlot of the city of Babylon will possess many political alliances that would make sense based on the first thing we shared as we discussed the explanation of John's vision. Those at the highest levels of power and influence, we talked about, will commit spiritual fornication with her. Rulers from around the world will become obsessed with the Babylonian harlot, again, which is the false religion. By extension of politics, all the unbelievers of the earth will be made drunk with the wine of her immorality. Thirdly, we said Sunday night as we continued on in the Bible study, we talked about John's wilderness experience. And when we ended this on Sunday night, we said this demonic scarlet beast is further described as having seven heads and 10 horns, showing the extent of his alliances. So we want to briefly now, we didn't read these verses, but we want to briefly kind of cover these couple of verses here, just briefly. We're going to get into them deeper later on down the road. But if you look at verse 9, 17:9, 17:10, and 17:12, and we'll just throw verse 11 in there for to make it all good. So look at 17:9 with me. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. And they are seven kings. Five have fallen. One is the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must remain a little while. The beast which was and is not is himself also an eighth and is one of the seven, and he goes to destruction. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but they receive authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. Now, I mean, you can get into this and you really start make your head hurt. You know, you start reading these verses right here. So we're going to take just small little chunks. The seven heads representing the seven mountains on which the woman sits. Who is the woman again? She is a false worldwide religion. She is the harlot, okay? The seven heads representing the seven mountains on which the woman sits represent seven past, present, and future governments, okay? Just kind of get that in your head right now as we think about that, 9, 10, and verse 12. The ten horns represent ten kings who will rule as subordinates to the Antichrist. Verse 13, we could have read that. We'll read it now. These have one purpose, and they give their power and authority to the beast. Who do we know the beast to be? The beast is the Antichrist. Okay, are y'all still with me? Hopefully your heads are still not going to melt out of your ears and run down your shirt. The harlot's alliances, what we want to get out. When we look at these two chapters, we can kind of take two approaches. We can just kind of really simplify it, make a few passing comments, and then move on to chapter 19. But I don't think it really does justice to the word. I think this begs to be preached, and it's difficult preaching to go through. I get it. Praise the Lord. Hopefully we'll get to hear it again together. I mean, hopefully I'll get to preach it to you again. You know, wait a year or two, and then, hey, we're going to do Revelation again. And we'll take a different approach on it, but if we go through it a second time, a year or two down the road, you'll really come into your own as far as understanding eschatology. But the harlot's alliances will be comprehensive. That's one of the things we want to get. I mean, it is a worldwide, comprehensive approach that the harlot, this false religion, is going to have all over the world. And think about it. How many religions are there today? I mean, there's a bunch of them, right? That's all going by the wayside. It's going to be one, right? And before Islam kind of came out on the scene and really got going, let's say 30, 40, maybe 50 years ago, the old-timers, the old theologians way back in the day, the early 1900s, they thought Catholicism was going to be the big worldwide religion. Well, that didn't pan out. Now we've got Islam they're talking about, a form of, some derivative of. But the harlot's alliances will be comprehensive. Her deadly embrace will encompass all the unredeemed, from kings and rulers to common people. All will worship and submit to her religion. Far from being separated, church and state, as I've already mentioned, will be united as never before in human history. As we go through this, what is the meaning of what the harlot is wearing? Let's look at what she's wearing. Look at verse 4, 17:4. The woman, are y'all there with me, 17:4? The woman, online, 17:4. The woman was clothed in purple, in scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a gold cup full of abominations and of the unclean things of her immorality. Prostitutes usually dress not to detract people, but to attract attention to themselves. And metaphorically, the harlot Babylon will be no different. She's going to be dolled up. John saw her clothed in purple and scarlet, the colors of royalty, the colors of prosperity, the colors of nobility, and the colors of wealth. That she is adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls portrays her as a prostitute who is both attractive and has been successful in her trade and has become very wealthy in doing what she does. Now, that's just a little bit of the meaning of what she's wearing. Some thoughts about the abominations of the harlot. That's kind of the second half of verse 4. I've already read that. I'll read it again to you. having in her hand a gold cup full of, what does it say, abominations, and of the unclean things of her immorality. Verse 5, and we've already covered verse 5. We covered that a couple Bible studies ago, but we'll look at it again. Verse 5, and on her forehead a name was written, a mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. As a further indication to her wealth, the harlot had in her hand a gold cup. And like prostitutes who want to take everything that their victims have, she will make her victims drunk, as did ancient Babylon. We've read this passage to you before. We'll hit it one more time tonight. Jeremiah 51:7. Jeremiah 51:7 reads, Babylon has been a golden cup in the hand of the Lord, intoxicating all the earth. The nations have drunk of her wine, therefore the nations are going mad. So when we think about what's going on here, abominations, apostasy, idolatry. We think about what's going on here. All idolatry is abominable to God. Now, we have idolatry today. Would you agree? Yes, yes? Amen? All idolatry is an abomination to God. People worship all kinds of stuff, from themselves, to their technology, to what they drive or where they live, or, I mean, you name it. They worship perhaps another person. I've seen people worship their kids. It goes on and on and on. Worship their money. I mean, all idolatry is abominable to God. And the gross idolatry, back to our study here, the gross idolatry of Antichrist's false religion will be the worst ever. That's why we read, I'll jump you forward, look at 18:5 with me, for her sins have piled up as high as what? My Bible says heaven, as high as heaven. 18:5, everybody there? For her sins have piled up as high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Now, the good news for us is if we're saved, right, our iniquities are under the what? Under the blood, amen? And he remembers the iniquities no more, right? Amen? The penalty of the iniquities are gone. Amen? But not for this gal. Not for this false religion. She's going to get everything coming to her. No wonder Babylon's sins will be piled up as high as heaven, per 18:5, bringing her destruction. Now, as was customary for prostitutes to identify themselves in the Roman world, the harlot Babylon also had a name. I mean, she's telling everybody. She got a name written on her forehead. The name John saw, verse 5, the harlot is called Mystery Babylon. She's Mystery Babylon. Mystery Babylon, why is she called Mystery Babylon? That is to indicate that Babylon, in this context, is not referring to a geographical location. There is a geographical Babylon that's in Iraq. Yeah, there is a geographical Babylon, but that's not what we're talking about here. The harlot is called Mystery Babylon to indicate that Babylon, in this context, does not refer to a geographical location. This is not ancient Babylon. This is not the Babylon of John's day or the rebuilt city of Babylon in the end times, which will be the Antichrist headquarters. The details of this vision cannot be applied to any actual city. Here is a previously, in our passage in verse 5, what I'm saying, here is a previously undisclosed Babylon, a secret reality to be revealed in the end times. So, I think, and you can tune me out and quit writing because I'm thinking, but I think this really makes a case for a religion that's already going today when we mention Islam. And, you know, when we think about Islam, as we mentioned before, we think third world country and we think rocks and sand and we think, you know, women covered, you know, not seeing very much of them, right? Just a little slip for their eyes. But this thing's going to get rolling. It's already rolling. I mean, it's going in other parts of the world, and even in some parts of the United States, it's going big guns. But I think the religion is already in place. This Babylon is the symbol here in verse 5. This Babylon is the symbol of all worldly resistance to God. It is described as the great because of its far-reaching influence. Again, we're dealing with metaphor here. In fact, so great will be its influence that it is called the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. Meaning that Babylon will be the source of all the false, all the idolatrous, all the blasphemous worship in the end times. Her designation as the mother of harlots is appropriate since harlotry in Scripture often symbolizes idolatry. Now, what do we want to look at next? We want to look at next verse 6. Look at verse 6. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the witnesses of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered greatly. The false worldwide religion is the instigator of the death of the saints. Those that are being saved during the tribulation. Does that make sense? Yes, yes? Amen? So like many harlots, this woman was drunk, but not from drinking alcoholic beverages. This vivid expression was commonly used in the ancient world to depict a murderous lust for violence. So the two descriptions refer to the same group as describe God's people in this tribulation and even back to the period leading up to the tribulation. So we've talked about, and there are more people dying today for their faith than has ever died in the history of the world for their faith in Jesus Christ. There are more people dying today than in biblical times. There are people that receive Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. They're saved, and they will not deny Christ. And it puts them in prison. It puts them to death. It does all kinds of things. The important point is that false religion represented here by the harlot is a murderer. A murderer. False religion has killed millions of believers over the centuries, and false religion will continue to kill people as we approach the second advent, the second coming of Christ, as we approach the rapture of the church, as we are then raptured out, people are then saved, people will be killed for their faith by this false religion. While the world becomes drunk with lust for her, the harlot becomes drunk with the blood of God's people. So I'm going to end it here, all right? The vision was so appalling that when John saw her, he's in a vision. He's been taken by the angel. He's in a vision. When he saw her, when he saw what represents the false religion, the harlot, sitting on the beast, the vision was so appalling that when John saw her, he wondered greatly, expressing that he was confused. He was shocked. He was astonished. He was frightened by this ghastly vision of such a contrastingly magnificent figure. You can't deny her beauty. She's beautiful. Gorgeous. She looks perfect. She's the desire of any man, right? The contrastingly magnificent figure of the woman on the one hand, and then what's inside of her, what's her desire, is nothing but death. She has a kiss of death about her. A kiss of death. A deadly intent. So we'll drop it there, and we'll pick it up as the angel tries to help the apostle. Yeah, Brother John. Yeah, admiration. Yeah, you can go a lot of ways with that Greek word. Shocked, astonished. Certainly, I mean, hey, you know, he's not in his glorified body, right? He's looking at this beautiful scene, right, of this harlot dressed to the nines, you know, desirous, right? How can this bring all this death? She's beautiful, right? She's beautiful. But she is a false, she's representative of a false religion. So we'll jump in. That's a good stopping point. We'll jump back into it what's tonight? Wednesday? We'll jump back on Sunday night. Amen? All right. Very good. All right, online folks, you made a good, strong showing tonight. Good to have you all with us tonight. Hope to see some of you Sunday morning. Hopefully the weather, it's going to be cold. I guess it's going to be cold. Going to be cold. Bundle up. Amen? Bundle up. Get you an extra blanket and put it close to the foot of the bed. And, well, you may not need it tonight, but you need it tomorrow night. Amen. All right. We'll close with a word of prayer. We'll be dismissed. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your word. And Lord, we're going through some difficult metaphor, but Lord, we're trying to take it just, we're trying to divide and conquer, just a step-by-step, systematic approach, working our way through these verses. And Lord, we pray that you just give us illumination, that your Holy Spirit gives us understanding, and Lord, you just help us get what we need to get out of this. Thank you for equipping us and helping us and growing us in our study of the last days, study of our eschatology. We praise you. We love you. Thank you for your great book. And Lord, we thank you that we're going to be raptured out before any of this happens. Thank you that we are forgiven tonight. We praise you for that. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. And Carol, if you're watching with us, Carol Williams, y'all remember Carol Williams? Yeah, Carol, if you're watching with us, good to have you on our Revelation study. We'll see you next time. All right. Good night, everybody. Bye-bye.